T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You've got Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein with you on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Layla is off the next couple of days for the holidays, so it's you, it's me, and it is our lifetime of Bears misery being reflected back at us today as we sit and wait for what is a scheduled press availability still of Matt Nagy meeting reporters at Halas Hall after the report has surfaced that he has been told that he has been fired or will be fired immediately after Thursday's game, regardless of outcome. It's apparently over, but the semantics, the Bears have yet to say anything officially. So leave it to them to take something inherently uncomfortable and make it that much more so. As we wait for Matt Nagy, perhaps in vain, as so many of you have correctly pointed out, we welcome Lawrence Holmes to our transition that is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. We thank everybody involved in today's show, especially Adam Hogue, Kaylin Kaler, and Sage Rosenfels for joining us, Rick Camp for doing a lot of work today, being super flexible. Our show changed immediately as we went on the air, and it takes a lot of work to take one show and turn it into another one. He and Mike Rankin and Ray Diaz doing a lot of work today. So, Lawrence, I guess you and I are here to kind of talk it out as the Bears themselves try to figure out what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm honestly, to tell you the truth, like I went through the same thing that you did where there was a show that we had planned today, and now that show is kind of in a holding pattern and trying to figure out like what's real, what's not real, and whether or not the Bears should respond to it if it turns out that the story isn't real. And if it is real, then what are you doing to this guy? Like, what is it that you're... It seems really unfair that if you've already made this decision and if it leaked and it's available to people, then it would seem unfair to make Matt Nagy live through this without there being some clarification from the top of the organization.
I agree 100%. And with every moment that goes by, with this paralysis, it just allows for too much speculation. It allows for too many things to look unmanaged and uncontrolled, which is in all likelihood exactly what they are.
Right. And look, we all kind of know that this is going in the direction of Matt Nagy being fired. But there's a difference between Matt Nagy being fired at the end of the year, as all of us probably think is going to happen, versus him being told that he's going to be let go on Monday, which is Mark Conkle's reporting over at the Patch, that he's already been told. And it... From this standpoint, here's why it makes sense. It wouldn't make sense to fire a coach on a short week. Although, you have a guy in Mike Pettine who's actually been a head coach, yep. And I don't think that it would necessarily upset the apple cart too much to have done it yesterday and said, you know, Mike Pettine's got everything, everyone else is in their place as far as the coordinators go. We're game planning for Detroit. Maybe they didn't want to deal with any of that, like everything that goes with firing a coach while a team is preparing for a game on a short week. But if the Bears did this and there's a handshake agreement or a nod and a wink between them and Matt Nagy, I don't know who that benefits. And I'm trying to figure out who would that benefit for them to go about it in this way.
I don't understand how then you could, even if this is how you were going to do it, the fact that it got out is something that is also on you. That if you're going to do it, you got to have a tight ship.
Yes, there should really only be a couple people who know that sort of thing. And if that's the case, then you have to question who the information is going to and who they're giving information to as well to try to bring some truth to this. And I was talking with someone who would know about the dysfunctionality of that organization. And the problem that this person laid out for me is a lot of the people that are in charge of making decisions at 1920 Football Drive, they're so insular that there isn't any real outside perspective on how to get things done. And so the default is, well, let's do them the way that we've always done them. And let's go to the places that we've always gone to try and make some of this happen. Was it Caitlin Kaler,
yes,
who you were talking to earlier?
Yes.
And it's funny that she got that report about Justin Fields because it tracks with some information that I had at the beginning of the season and how there were people going, it doesn't make sense to do it this way. It doesn't make sense to say that he's the backup, but then treat him as if he's the number three guy and having him run scout team. All of that stuff from a football logic standpoint doesn't make sense.
Well, the reason it matters, and I understand why there are some who say, well, who cares about any of this stuff? It's all about wins and losses. Press conferences don't matter. I get that. When it matters in the body of work that many of us have experienced here professionally, the body of work, if you want to talk about the Planet Park press conference and you want to talk about Dave McGinnis Day or what is being talked about at 2014 and Aaron Cromer and Brandon Marshall and Phil Emery and the way everything went down with their Lovie Smith retention press conference of we value continuity, but we need massive change, all and building up to last year's press conference about the 6-game losing streak. You lose track after a while, or describing what happened between Olin Krutz and Fred Miller on the FBI gun range when they're beating everybody over the head with weights and explaining what happened there. It's one thing after the other. And if you, even if the Bears in the best of intentions, if George McCaskey wants to get this right and he says, you know what, we're going to do this, and Ted Phillips is going to be president of business operations, and we're going to go hire an absolute president of football operations, Bigfoot, with the power to hire and fire everyone on that side, to hire a general manager and all the personnel people and all the scouts and all the coaches. That person, any of your shortlist who you would interview for that, is paying attention right now. They're watching this.
They are. And I think that what the Bears have done over the last couple of decades, and maybe going back farther than that, is they feel that the brand is so strong that it can override any of the stuff that the people who are running the team actually do. So the allure of a charter franchise job in the third largest market in America will draw anyone who wants to be a head coach or wants to take their career to the next level. There's some truth to that. There's some truth that it's that the Bears, because they are part of the NFL, are too big to fail. And while we laugh, and I'm sure that some of their colleagues probably laugh, the money still gets printed.
The franchise value keeps increasing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, the money gets printed from, I was talking about this with someone else yesterday, a caller who said, well, they need the personal seat licenses up in Arlington Heights. Like, no, they don't. Like, they have the media money, every team, and the split that you get They're cashing $300-350 million before they open the doors, before they even get to the part that we might have some influence over. They're cashing checks. So because of that, there's no impetus for them to change as an organization. They can still look at this and say, well, yeah, we're not run like the Patriots are run, or now Tampa Bay, or any other franchise. And they can be like, yeah, but we're still the Bears. We still have a really strong brand, and it'll take a ton of erosion to harm that brand. I don't know if they realize the type of damage that can be done, or they might just be ignoring it because they're too big to fail.
It hasn't mattered. That all of these various public embarrassments that we've discussed or that we've been a part of haven't mattered. So what really is the lesson to be learned there? If none of the optics actually end up mattering, the person saying, I don't care about any of this stuff, just go win games, is right. But until it does start to affect the actual winning of games, until you question about the overall makeup of an organization, where you ask perfectly reasonably, if this organization is capable of not caring about this, this, and this, it also, their one loss record has similarly been disconnected from the value of their franchise. And that, to me, is more important. That's when we start talking about the existential nature of fandom and being taken for granted and really not mattering. When they don't have to do everything within their power to be good at their, there's no relegation. There's no real punishment for being endlessly mediocre and maybe hoping to break out of that by dumb luck. When that's disconnected from business is when you really have an issue as a fan, and you've got to wonder why you're doing what you're doing.
And I think that if to a man or a woman, if you were able to talk with George in Virginia and Ted and whomever else you wanted, everyone up there wants to win.
Agreed.
Like they want there to be winning. The problem is they don't know how to do it. And every time that they are given an opportunity to show us what they know, they default to the comfort of what it is that they've done before. Are you willing to take steps and understand that maybe it's not the best idea to go to people who don't have your best interest in mind when trying to figure out what type of job should be around? I heard you talking about it a couple days ago, Dan, and it's something that I've been on for a couple of years. Like my experience of working on the football after show, I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of guys who genuinely care about Bears football. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter like which generation of Bear you talk to. If it's the guys that I cover, if it's the guys that you cover, if it's the guys that worked at our radio station, you can go back. Even when they are gone from the organization, they want to see the Bears win. And usually their criticism is filled with, it comes from a place of, we want to see the Bears succeed as a franchise. It dumbfounds me that those are pretty reasonable free resources that are available to the Bears. And for the longest time, they haven't taken advantage of it. When Lovey was in charge, there were the older guys that felt like they weren't welcome at Halas Hall. And now you have a group of Bears that are sitting there like, yo, I want to be a part of the solution. And you still have the powers to be in their ear about what's the movement of the league and the team. And I find that to be simply perplexing. Even from, like, I'm not saying that you have to go and hire Lance Briggs and put him in charge of football. All I'm saying is, why don't you take him to lunch and say, yo, what do you think about what it is we're doing? And how do you think we could do it better? Add it to your own intelligence so that when you go back into those meetings with Ryan Pace, he can't flim-flam his way through it, because you will actually have some education from people who know. Think of all the smart Bears people that we talk to on a weekly basis, Dan. Any one of them would be a great sounding board for this organization. And if they want to make it official, I'm all for those guys getting their cash for their opinions. I'm totally fine with that. But the fact that you don't use that, that you look to even with those guys, if they have harsh opinions about the way that your football franchise is that they're now somehow out of the tent. Instead of inviting them in and saying, how can we go about fixing some of these things? And what's your opinion on it? Help to educate me. George is real clear about him not being a football guy. Okay, we all have to understand our limitations. I do think that it's odd that anyone who works in an industry as long as he's worked in that industry would not be able to be like, you know what, this is what I do for a living. So at some point, your experience itself allows you to be an expert on the subject. But fine, if you can't do it, if you don't have what it takes to be a football person, why allow there to be a chorus of one when it comes to your football decisions? When you have at your disposal plenty of ex-players, ex-coaches who want to see you win, and yet you don't reach out and you don't let them be a part of the process. That's how you get insular nonsense like we've seen with this franchise for the last two decades.
Let's do a quick reset as to what is happening at the moment. Approximately 3 hours ago, Patch.com in Illinois broke this story saying that Matt Nagy will coach his last game for the Bears on Thanksgiving in Detroit, according to a top source with knowledge of the situation. Nagy was informed of his pending post-Turkey Day termination on Monday. According to the source, this was written by Mark Conkle, who is formerly of the Sun-Times and is a Pulitzer Prize winner, among other things. So then we waited for the Bears to confirm or deny. They have yet to do either. They have stuck to their Tuesday pre-Thursday schedule, which is a different than their regular off-day Tuesday schedule. For some reason, they allowed special teams coach Chris Tabor to trot out and speak.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.